Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, from The Lipstick Fever, and today I'm having a little coffee date with author Sarah Knight. Before she became an anti-guru, Sarah Knight spent 15 years as a book editor in New York, working with writers including Gillian Flynn, James Lee Burke, Jay Rayner, and many more. Sarah's books have sold over 2 million copies worldwide. Her first book, The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck, continues to be one of Quercus's best-selling titles several years after publication, with over 500,000 copies sold. Her books have topped bestseller lists in 7 countries and counting, and has been translated into more than 30 languages. Sarah's TEDx talk has had over 7 million views. Hope you guys enjoy this episode, and do stay with us till the end as we'll be giving away copies of Sarah's most recent book release. So stay with us and enjoy this episode. Sarah, hi. It's so nice to meet you. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you. To be honest, I'm a little bit fangirling over here. I have read all of your titles in the No Fucks Given guides. I'm obsessed with them. So I've been really looking forward to chatting with you today.
Wow, that's really flattering. Thank you.
So thanks for joining me on a bit of like a virtual coffee date as we are talking remotely. I know you're based in the Dominican. I've asked you to come bearing a favorite beverage of choice. So what are you sipping on over there?
I am being so boring. I'm drinking water. I've already had my coffee for the day. And if I have too much more, then it doesn't go well for me.
I'm totally with you. So I'm 5 hours ahead of you. It's 5 o'clock in the UK. So I've had both my coffees for the day and having a little sparkling water. So boring right there with you. So jumping kind of into some questions, where are you originally from and where did you grow up?
I am from the state of Maine in New England in the United States. I grew up in a little town called South Berwick, Maine.
Okay, amazing. I am familiar with Bar Harbor. I had some family there back in the day.
Yeah, Bar Harbor is quite far north, or far north, as the native Mainers might say.
I love that. So to be honest, you are kind of the epitome of someone who has done a big move, both in your career and geographically, as you are chatting with me from the Dominican. So whereabouts are you in the Dominican Republic and kind of what's kind of sparked that move for you?
I live in a little town called Las Terrenas, which is on the northeast coast of the Dominican Republic. It's actually on a peninsula called the Samaná Peninsula. And I came here about, God, has it been 4 years or 5 years ago from New York, where I lived with my husband in Manhattan and in Brooklyn for about 15 years. And I had moved there from graduating from college. I went to Harvard, so I was in Boston for 4 years before that. So there's been a lot of moving. And the reason that I wound up leaving New York for the Dominican Republic was twofold. One, because my husband and I both really wanted to move somewhere more relaxed and with a slower pace and better weather. That was a big factor. And also because I left my job. I had been a senior editor at Simon & Schuster, book publisher in New York, and I'd been in that career for 15 years and decided that I wanted to work for myself. So once I quit my job in 2015 and went freelance, I realized that I was also not tied to New York City, which is kind of the hub of publishing in the United States. Certainly you can live in other places in the US and work in publishing, but I would say that the central location for working in publishing is New York. And so when I was no longer tied there, I was much more free to relocate.
That's so interesting. And so with your kind of departure from your job and your move, was there like a big gap of time, or did those two things kind of like go hand in hand for you?
So I decided that I was going to leave my job about a year before I did it. And the reason that I needed that year was to save money, because I could not, I was not in a position to just walk out of my job just because I was fed up with it. And I should say that I really loved my career. I loved my authors. I really enjoyed the process of collaborating with them and also of bringing books and voices into the world. But I just wasn't really cut out for the corporate way. I didn't love engaging in office diplomacy, and I hated meetings, and I really hated conference calls. But I also just didn't really feel like I could be myself and do all of the things that I wanted to do within a corporate structure. So I decided I wanted to leave. I knew that I needed a financial cushion to do that. So I spent a year saving up money. During that time, when I knew I was going to be leaving, my husband and I were considering the idea of a move. So that was sort of happening simultaneously. And we knew that we would need to sell our apartment in Brooklyn, which we had owned for about 9 years, in order to do that. So we were looking into that aspect of our big personal move while I was in the process of making my professional move.
Amazing. So how long have you actually been living the kind of island life now?
So I'm not really great at math. Let's see. I think it's been four full years, plus there was about half a year before then that we came down here to sort of establish some things, to move into our house, to figure some stuff out. And then we had to go back to New York to tie up some loose ends there. So we spent about, you know, half of 2016 going back and forth. And then we've been here permanently since November of 2016.
Okay, cool. So you have been dubbed the, quote, anti-guru. What does this mean?
That moniker was given to me by The Observer magazine in the UK, and they did a profile on several, five or six self-help authors, and they called me the anti-guru because my advice and the manner in which I deliver it is perhaps a little bit different and somewhat contradictory to some of the other self-help authors on the market. I think it's pretty common sense advice, but maybe it's just all of the F-bombs and the kind of blunt delivery that makes people think of me as an anti-guru.
Totally. And I love that you emailed me too before the episode asking if you could curse on the podcast. I thought to myself, I'd be a little challenging to not for this episode, but kind of touching on your most recent book release, which is called Fuck No. What kind of prompted, I guess, the most recent title that you released?
Well, Fuck No was inspired actually by going all the way back to the first book, which was called The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck. And in that book, I talk about deciding what is important to you, what you want to spend your time, energy, and money on. I call those your fuck bucks, and making a fuck budget and sticking to it and really eliminating toxic people and unwanted tasks and unnecessary obligations from your life. And that book has been a raging success, and that's really wonderful. But what happened over the course of the next 4 years, when I was publishing more books in the No Fucks Given Guide series, was I kept getting messages from people saying, I loved your first book. I totally get it. You're telling me that it's okay to stop caring about things that don't make me happy and to get them out of my life. But I need help really saying the words. I need help expressing myself. I need to dial it down into the most specific language possible. Please help me. And I was like, oh, I guess people really need an entire book devoted to how to say no. So Fuck No is sort of a bookend to the original No Fucks Given Guide.
Okay, cool. So for those in the audience that maybe have not yet read any of your titles, what would you say are kind of like one to two of the biggest takeaways from your most recent release?
From Fuck No, it's really about having the confidence to say no, to mean it, and to be heard. And in the end, it's also really a guide to taking no for an answer. So what I'm trying to do is explain to people, it doesn't have to be that hard. We can demystify and, you know, destigmatize the act of saying no. You can do it honestly and politely. You can hold on to the relationships that matter to you. But it's just not that hard to say that two-letter word. And I give you like 600 examples of how to do it in the book.
Totally. I love that it's like kind of like a mix of like actionable, but then you also kind of give examples from your own life. And I guess, right, for women in particular, I know from my standpoint, both like professionally and personally, it's just, it's hard to say no as a woman. Like from your viewpoint, why is saying no so damn hard sometimes?
Well, women have been socialized since a very young age to make things better, to not hurt people's feelings, to serve, to make everything more comfortable. And men are socialized from a young age to win. And this makes it difficult for women to say no because it feels like an uncomfortable antithesis to all of the things that we've been taught, to take on other people's burdens and make sure that nobody else has to feel bad. So I think that it really is, it goes deep, deep down into the social construct and into the way that women have been raised in the world. And in particular, for me, you know, I really identified for so much of my life. I'm 41 now, and I identified for so much of my life as, you know, an overachiever, a successful person, an ambitious person. And that made it really difficult to say no, because I felt like saying no was a personal failure. It was admitting that I couldn't do something, or it was letting somebody else think that I couldn't do it. And I really had to battle through that. So that's one of the aspects of fuck no that I touch on, is people, including women, who feel like saying no undermines their ability to be successful.
That makes so much sense. And then I guess like equally, why is saying no so important from your viewpoint? I guess especially like today, for sort of like the modern woman like trying to do everything.
I just don't think that you can do everything well, you know, and a big theme that runs through all of my books is prioritizing, and prioritizing your feelings, prioritizing your tasks, prioritizing your goals, and really valuing for yourself what's most important, being honest about what serves you the most. It's not always about the thing that you love or makes you happy. You know, we have to go to work because we have to make money because we have to pay our rent. So in that sense, going to work serves you, even if it's not necessarily the happiest thing that you do with your day. But in general, I think that you have to be able to say no to the things that don't serve you in order to preserve that time, energy, and money, and mental health, and wherewithal to be good at the things that you want to do, to succeed at the things you want to succeed at, and to be a pleasant friend and partner and parent and colleague and boss, you know, to the people around you. Because if you have, you know, driven yourself into a deficit of your time, energy, and money, you're not going to be a particularly pleasant, useful, productive person at home, at work, in your family relationships, etc.
Absolutely. So I guess for those of us that need like a little extra help in this arena, or like maybe they don't know where to start, what would you offer to them? Like, would you start with literally like prioritization, which you kind of just mentioned, or is there something else that you would kind of start off with?
Yeah. So what I talk about in all of the books, it began in The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck, and it runs all the way through to Fuck No, is mental decluttering. And, you know, my first book began as a parody of a really popular Japanese tidying guide that you've probably heard of, called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. And that's a great little Bible for physical decluttering. Breaks it down into two steps: discarding the things that do not bring you joy, as she says, and organizing what you have left. And what I did with my first book, which was intended to be somewhat tongue-in-cheek and then took on a life of its own, was I applied those principles to the stuff that was cluttering up my mind, and understanding that I had to ask myself, is this important? Does it make me happy? Does it serve me? And in the opposite of Marie Kondo's question, not does it bring me joy, but does it annoy me? And to discard the things that annoy me, and then organize my life around what's left, the things that I prioritize, the things that I value, that are important and that serve me. So I would say to people starting out that first you have to begin with you. You have to do that mental decluttering. You have to ask yourself, what brings you joy. Ask yourself what annoys the fuck out of you, and be willing to answer honestly, and then proceed from there to get that annoy out of your life. So it's a matter of being, of looking inward and of asking yourself some important but simple questions, and then answering them honestly and being willing to proceed accordingly.
Totally. And out of, I guess, all of the titles in the series, do you recommend that people like start with a specific one? Can you read them out of order? Like what are, I guess, are your thoughts kind of there?
Well, you can absolutely read them out of order. As a former book editor, especially one who did a lot of series books, like with thriller authors who wrote, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 books, I'm very focused on the idea that you should not have to have read the one that came before in order to fully understand and enjoy the one that you decided to start with. So I always say that, you know, you should start with whichever one sounds like you need it the most. So the books, you know, if you need help setting boundaries and you need help decluttering your mind and you need help becoming a person who is willing to care less and get more out of life, then The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck is a great place to start. But if you're somebody who needs help with motivation and goal setting and getting organized, then my second book, Get Your Shit Together, is probably where you should start. And if you need help with anxiety and problem solving, Calm the Fuck Down is probably where you should start. So you can absolutely read them out of order. But if you are intrigued by the books and you really want to get the absolute most out of them, then I would go ahead and start from the beginning. And I have a question on my website at nofucksgivenguides.com. I have an FAQ section and that explains what order they were published in. So you can just look on there if you want to start from the beginning.
Okay, cool. So obviously we've talked a lot about saying no, fuck no, setting boundaries, but I guess on kind of the flip side of things, what are things that you personally prioritize and maybe say yes to?
I really prioritize the health of my marriage. I've been with my husband for 20 years and we've been through a lot together. We've seen a lot, we've done a lot, and it's always been really important to both of us that we make sure that we are prioritizing each other as much as possible throughout all of the crazy stuff that's gone on with both of our careers and our families and, you know, big major life changes, including, you know, really difficult ones that tested the strength of our relationship. So that's something that I really put a lot of prioritization on any given day. I also prioritize my friendships, my other relationships. I think that having moved out of New York City, the biggest the biggest difficulty and challenge was to leave behind friends that I had had for, you know, 15 or 20 years, and to understand that I wanted to keep up those relationships, you know, even though we were going to be very distant from one another. So that's something that I put time and energy into. And you know, my professional work, my books, my writing, my reputation, my online presence are all things that I prioritize. And, you know, I think that is pretty evident, given the fact that, you know, this is where I am today. This is what I've been working toward, and this is what I'm doing. And, you know, it means more to me than other things that maybe I prioritized earlier in my life that were kind of sucking the life out of me.
Completely. And like, you make it sound so simple. It feels like it's all about just like looking inward and really just focusing on what's important in your life. And it seems to me it's like family, friendships, relationships, and like your professional goals.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to say that all of this is very simple. That doesn't make it easy. But what I try to do in all of the books is break things down into simple binaries, you know. Is this joy? Is this annoy? You know, is this important? Is this not important? Do I want to spend my time on this? Do I not want to spend my time on this? So it's all these very clear, simple yes or no questions. Prioritizing itself is an exercise in just moving one thing up to the top. There cannot be two things at the top, you know, there can only be one. So you have to decide what it is. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. And that's another thing that I want people who are listening who think, oh, she's making it sound so easy, or, you know, she doesn't know how difficult it is for me to do these things. It was difficult for me too. And the more I do it, the better I get at it. So again, what I want to emphasize to people is that, you know, all of this stuff is simple. It doesn't make it easy, but it's definitely simple. And once you start doing it, just like practicing anything, you start getting better at it. And it starts being really satisfying and especially really liberating. And other people will notice this change in you, as my friends and family noticed it in me. And it inspires them to want to do it. And I think that's part of the reason why the books have been so successful, is that I'm taking thoughts and feelings that my readers have had and haven't known how to put into words and action, or have been afraid to put into words and action. And I'm showing them an example of how it's done and how well it works. And, you know, the way that you can be a happier and more mentally healthy person and just as successful and productive as you want to be by, you know, deciding that you are going to care less about the things that annoy you and get more out of the things that bring you joy.
Completely. So I guess one question I had for you is a piece of career advice that maybe you'd offer to your former self in, say, like your very first job.
This is a tough one. And it's even hard for me to say this out loud because it goes so against the grain of everything that I believed and everything that I was for the first 35 years of my life. But you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I was this type A, overachieving, absolute perfectionist who felt that I needed to do everything, cross every T and dot every I absolutely perfectly in order to be seen as worthy and in order to succeed. And what that did was give me a shit ton of anxiety and actually resulted in dismantling my mental health to a point where I couldn't do things as well as I wanted to do them because I just didn't have the bandwidth. My brain was just working, you know, it was like blowing fuses left and right. And that in turn was incredibly depressing and anxiety inducing. So I would say that even if your instinct is to be perfect, so that the people that, you know, are in a position to reward you for your hard work will see that, you have to not let perfection become your enemy. And it's something that I took way too long to learn and that I definitely wish I could have told my younger self before I started my very first job.
Okay, I love that. And I think we don't talk about that enough. So it's really interesting to hear that kind of from your side. So to kind of shift gears a little bit, what has lockdown life been like in the Dominican? I imagine it hasn't been a tough place to be doing so, but I'm curious.
I'm very lucky because, you know, my life has not been governed by typical workday and all of that stuff for quite a long time. So obviously, I still work from home. That was not something I needed to get used to. What has been difficult, we are locked down much like the rest of the world and have been since about March 18th, I believe, officially, although my husband and I started staying home a few days before that. It's been hard not to socialize. You know, one of the things that is great about working for myself is that I get to plan my days and I get my work done in a more efficient manner than I used to when I had to show up at an office for 8 or 10 hours a day. But I also get to, you know, blow off some steam and relax with my friends. And I moved here so that I could go to bars on the beach and have cocktails and watch the ocean and all of that. And I haven't been able to do that in almost 3 months. So that's been a little bit mentally taxing, certainly not anywhere close to the kind of difficulty that other people are experiencing. But, you know, it wears on you. And I've just been doing my best to enjoy what I have around me, be grateful for what I do have. I have beautiful sunshine. I have a swimming pool, which is pretty great. And of course, I'm quarantined with my husband, who I like quite a bit. So that works out. But, you know, it's anxiety inducing and it's really like frightening to see what's going on in the world. And you know, it doesn't particularly look to me like there is a great end in sight yet. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think we'll be doing this. Certainly my husband and I will be staying home for quite some time to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like all we can do is kind of be grateful for, right, for our health, for our partners, and for family at this point. And we'll kind of see what happens from here. So what is next for you? Is there anything upcoming that you're working on or anything that you want to touch on or share with the audience?
I am working on a new book. I have a new book under contract, and it is a collection of essays, and it will be funny and smart, and I think advice-driven, but not quite the same as the No Fucks Given guides that I've published so far. A lot more storytelling, a lot more personal storytelling, and we shall see. It's something that I always had on schedule to start working on this spring, and so it's coincided with a weird mental time for me where I'm not potentially feeling quite so funny, and everything I want to write about has to do with coronavirus instead of, you know, much larger topics that I meant to be covering. So I'm hacking away at it day by day, but we shall see where that goes. You know, it's at least it's something to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll look out for that. And as well, where can everybody follow you and then find all of your No Fucks Given guides?
Well, you can go to nofucksgivenguides.com, and that has all of the books, all of the downloads that accompany the books, the fun posters, the flow charts, the reading group guides. There's buy links to all the major retailers in the US and Canada and the UK. Plus, there's an international section for the books that are published internationally. And there's information about me, and you can find all of my social handles there, and all of the podcasts I've ever done are on the downloads page. So it's a wealth of information, nofucksgivenguides.com.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for joining me, Sarah. It was really fun to catch up with you and chat with you. One last thing, though. We will be giving away your latest title, Fuck No, to 5 listeners of the podcast. So the first 5 people to send me a DM on the Big Move Podcast Instagram account and to follow Sarah and the book handle, which is No Fucks Giving Guides, will receive one. So we look forward to those. And thank you again, Sarah. This was a really fun combo.
Excellent. I'm glad you're doing a giveaway. I hope it'll help 5 more people learn how to say fuck no. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Sarah. And thank you guys all for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And we'll catch you on the next episode.